This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. On today's show, we're looking at the interplay between art and advertising. Over the last few months, you undoubtedly received piles of catalogs from places like Crate & Barrel, Harry & David, IKEA. Do you ever wonder how they managed to make furniture and food and all the rest of it look so inviting and delicious? As our reporter Judith Kampfner found out, these modern images can be traced back further than you'd probably think.
Lisa Homer is a New York food stylist.
I created a little puddle of honey that's a beautiful amber color, and that has some nice highlights in it.
A smooth oval dollop of honey, a soft light shines through it. Homer cooks and arranges food for photo shoots. In this photo, there's a waterfall of objects.
Then you have a leaf that is not edible, but adds a pretty texture on the plate. And then you have something that's a little bit taller for a different height yet, which is a fig. And part of it is cut open, and that has a certain allure when you see something cut open, and it kind of draws someone into the photo.
And the eye moves on to the linen cloth on the oak table. It's restful and satisfying.
This particular photo, I think because we did use sort of a charcoal or chocolate-colored background, I think that's very similar to what you might see in some of the 17th century still-life painters.
Like a painter, Homer uses artificial backdrops and revelatory lighting to pick up different textures. This aesthetic was pioneered by Dutch still-life painters from the 17th century, like Jan Leavens and Floris van Dyck, who excelled at cheeses, or William Claus Heder, whose specialty was silverware. These aren't household names because even in their day, still-life painters were always considered commercial and at the bottom of the food chain. But Mariette Westerman fell in love with the old master's food and flower paintings as a young child in the Netherlands. She now directs the Institute of Fine Arts at New York University.
If you look at a Dutch still-life painting by someone like Willem Claes Heda, for example, who tended to gather together wonderful silver vessels and glass and opaque things next to translucent things and so forth, soft tablecloth next to hard metal, a lot of attention to sheen. That sort of thing always strikes me as very prevalent in, say, your average catalog for Pottery Barn or Williams-Sonoma.
When you see an artistic arrangement in a store window, the everyday objects and food are more than consumer goods arranged for sale. They become part of a picture, even if the vendor might not know it.
When you see those still lifes in the Union Square Green Market, they're still lifes indeed. The apples have been stacked just so, if the merchant is smart about how he or she puts it out there. The vision has in some way been informed already by still life.
Representations of domestic objects have been around since antiquity. What the 17th century Dutch had, which they exploited to the full, was a type of paint.
Oil, a wonderfully slick medium that you can move around and that you can build up in many layers that create that extremely sensuous sheen, the softness of a peach, the crumpledness of a piece of paper. That kind of capacity is really developed in oil paint. It would be wrong to say that this thing was invented in the Netherlands, but they ran with it.
In Amsterdam, the treasure house of art is the Rijksmuseum. Their specialist in still life is Taco Dibbets.
This painting is incredibly complex and has a very lavish table with fantastic pastries on it, oysters, the peeled lemon, where the artist shows his ability of painting this beautiful lemon skin, which is very rough, and they often show it with rough paint. So you have a rough yellow paint, which shows the structure of the lemon. Also, the oysters is a subject that was painted, of course, because oysters were found in the Netherlands, but also because it's a challenge to the artist to paint this watery substance of the oyster.
Lucky for the Dutch that the oyster was a staple, but they were importing much produce which they did, in fact, consider exotic. Exploration of the East and the New World was at its height, and botanists recorded everything in microscopic detail. Scientific curiosity filtered down to the still-life painters, who liked to show that they also could dissect objects. The cut-out sections helped to draw the eye into the food. Modern gourmet ingredients aren't very different.
We see a fig that has bursted open with the red meat inside.
it's much more interesting to show a whole cake with a slice cut out of it and to show the interior and the layers and the texture of the crumb and crumbs on the plate.
There are these objects that Peter Klaas particularly loved, and one of those was the painting of bread and the crumbled bread, which we have here, or a pastry broken open, which the contents fall out of.
In the 1970s and 80s, art historians gave philosophical interpretations to Dutch still lifes. Each food had a symbolic meaning. These were celebrations of God's creation or warnings of the transience of life. Nowadays, art critics like Mariette Westerman see still life differently. They think that these were very skillful and beautiful, but essentially commercial pictures, celebrating domestic upscale life.
I see the paintings as both about that consumer culture in some way, that new consumer culture of where everybody could have more glassware, more silver and so forth, but also they are themselves consumer objects of a very high luxury end.
These were aspirational pictures. Even if a middle-class householder in Amsterdam couldn't afford Chinese bowls, fine goblets, and rare fruits, he could feel he owned what was in his painting if he hung the image of them on his wall. The pages of a shiny housewares catalogue today, or the photos in food advertising on a billboard, are more transient, but effectively they give us the same messages. The overflowing dinner table, succulent ripe foods amongst gorgeous furnishings, these are the good life, made visible in two dimensions. For Studio 360, I'm Judith Kampfner.
You can find images of some Dutch still lifes through our website, studio360.org. I'm Kurt Anderson with George Lois in Studio 360, and we are talking about advertising and art. I don't know about you, but I found that piece to be true and interesting and wonderful to sort of remind people that these things that we regard with a kind of religious hush today in museums, in some sense, were the equivalent of beautiful advertising imagery, advertising for this way of life that we take for granted, but was just sort of being invented at that time.
Yeah, I've never heard it quite expressed that way before. It's very interesting, you know. These incredible paintings, and especially the broken bread, you know, with the crumbs. My God, you could sit there and lick the crumbs off the canvas.
Well, and the degree to which the technology of the moment, this new, you know, oil paint, allowed it to happen in the way that we think of, you know, new technologies allowing things to happen to be a more recent phenomenon. But obviously, it was happening.
And if you didn't own the silver, you could have some silver in the painting.
And who doesn't? You know, I mean, I'm sure half the people or more reading Martha Stewart Living don't actually do the stuff. They just it's that same aspirational, vicarious. Ooh, that's beautiful.
And what I try to teach young people, there's a lot of things you try to teach them, but one of the things you try to teach them is that it's not just an experience of life. You have to have an experience of literally art. You know, when I say to them, when's the last time anybody here has been to the Metropolitan Museum of Art? And they look at you like blankly, you know, it's frightening.
And these are graduate students in design.
It's frightening, you know, and it's not just the shock of the new, it's the shock of the old, you know, and we have 10,000 years of a visual experience that we can look at that makes you what you are and feeds what you do in your work. It's very hard to get kids to understand that.
Are there other artists who you've found to be influential on the work you've done over the years?
Oh, I think probably hundreds, you know. But I would say Magritte a lot. And a guy like Magritte influenced. When I say influenced, at the time I wasn't thinking of Magritte when you do a piece of advertising.
Thank goodness.
But what you learn from people like him is juxtaposition. You know, what you learn from Fellini is at the beginning of La Dolce Vita and the helicopter's flying over the sinful city of Rome and is carrying a statue of Christ, you know, with his arms out. And, you know, Christ is looking down at these sinful people, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the juxtaposition of the helicopter carrying Christ is an incredible visual image that in some way or other influenced Esquire covers, maybe. You know,
that makes sense, and it certainly was simultaneous with
you know. So it's not just art that influences you. I mean, it's popular culture. You know, I don't tell kids it's just art. But for instance, Hitchcock's Cary Grant and
North by Northwest?
Yves Saint Marie, walking on the nose
of Mount Rushmore.
Abraham Lincoln, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know, probably influenced Andy drowning in a can of Campbell soup, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's been done before, but I just do it in a fresh way that says today, you know. But all of those things, one way or the other, have to influence you. Anybody who says that they're not influenced is dead, you know, and you can't do great work. I mean, I always looked at everything I ever did as not something I created. It's something that I, with an intellectual process and a process that comes from your heart, you come up with an idea that's there. In other words, the idea is floating by and you grab it.
So in that sense, I mean, that's something that has been said, could be said, is said by artists of all kinds all the time. So what you're saying is even in your work that is not art in a normal sense of the word, the process, that process
absolutely
is the same.